remain standing. If you will, turn in your Bible to Matthew chapter number 7. Amen. I like that song as well. I'm saved, and I can't say it enough. Saved, saved, saved. Amen. By the good grace of God. And that song talking about the coming of the Lord as well. Amen. And don't know when that He's coming. I don't know for sure the day nor the hour, but I do know that He's coming.
Amen.
And I know I'm ready to go. Amen. And it pays to be ready. I want to be not just prepared that my name's on the roll. When He comes, I'm one of the ones He's coming after. Amen. But I want to be ready, living for Him. I want to be faithful to the end, don't you? And ready to give Him glory. Not be ashamed before Him at His coming. He talks about there in 1 John. But I want to be prepared in that way for Him as well. Amen. Amen. All right, we're going to read our text this evening. I'm going to start reading verse 7. Read from chapter 7, verse 7 down through verse 11 for our text reading this evening. The Bible says, "Ask, and it shall be given unto you," or given you. "Seek, and ye shall find. Knock, and it shall be opened unto you. For everyone that asketh receiveth, and he that seeketh findeth, and to him that knocketh it shall be opened. For what man is there of you whom if his son ask bread, will he give him a stone? Or if he ask a fish, will he give him a serpent? If ye then, being evil, know how to give good gifts unto your children, how much more shall your Father which is in heaven give good things to them that ask Him." Let's go to the Lord in prayer. Brother Hall, would you lead us in prayer, please? Yes, Lord. Help, Lord. Yes. Amen. Amen. Thank you for standing. You can be seated. Appreciate that prayer. Appreciate the privilege to pray. I've been preaching now the last couple of Sundays on prayer as it's found here in the Sermon on the Mount. This dissertation our Lord gave as He gave these words on prayer. Very similar, Matthew 7, very similar to Luke 11 and our Lord's instructions on prayer there. A little bit of diversity. I think personally, as I've said before, I think that's not part of the Sermon on the Mount. It's just another sermon that's similar. Got some of the same parts in it and additional things as well. But this one is so very well known. And to be honest with you, I thought when I was studying this, you know, we could breeze through this and go on because I think we know it. But then again, are we, you know, how much are we practicing it? Are we actually recognizing the great privilege to pray and the great necessity of prayer? And if we're not necessarily seeing that, if we're not necessarily practicing that, then it must be that we don't know it as well as we think we do.
Right.
Just to be honest with you. And so I think it's, matter of fact, I think it's wise to repeat and go back, but I think it's wise to slow down and see and try to get all the good we can out of this. I thought about this. And I thought Brother Steve would like this. Get all the nectar we can off of every flower. Amen. Even whether it's tulips or whatever it is. Amen. Get all the nectar we can out of those flowers. And get some good that can be honey down the road. Amen. That can be sweet to us down the road as we go. So this morning last week I preached on Christ's counsel about prayer. That's what He's dealing with. He's dealt with all kinds of things. In chapter number 7, He started off with the counsel about prejudice, when He said, don't prejudge, but judge right. Amen. And then He talked about the counsel that you're being careful about, and I can't get the word to come to my mind, but I used a letter P in that word as well, when we're being careful about what we do with the Lord's word. And maybe that'll come to me a little bit. But now He's dealing with the counsel on prayer. And I mentioned last week about the call to prayer. Our Lord just said, He just starts off this sentence and this paragraph with the word ask. It's not a suggestion. It is a declaration. It is a command. Ask, and it shall be given you. And so we see that our Lord gives the command or the call to prayer. And then this morning we started talking about the character of prayer. I dealt with three things that are involved in the character of prayer. And tonight, by the help of the Lord, I want to deal with four others that I believe are found right in this text that we can see in the character of prayer. This, our Lord not only tells us what to do, but He tells us how to do what we're supposed to do. And I appreciate that He does that. And so we started off this morning talking about that I believe the first base is we must pray humbly. Come to God in humility and pray to God humbly. Ask and it shall be given you. I mentioned that the asking is as a beggar in need. Amen. And then we must pray earnestly. He said, seek and ye shall find. And then the third, we must pray believingly. Knock, even though the door is closed. Knock and it shall be opened unto you. Amen. Now for tonight's sermon, I'd like to continue this train of thought. And as I said, point out four other things, perhaps not being very long. But these blessed me as I was studying them out. And I hope that they will bless you as well. Number four, I believe not only we must pray humbly, earnestly, and believingly, but we must pray reverently. Reverently. We don't come to God irreverently. We don't barge in on God. And I take my phrase again from verse number 7, that phrase that He said, knock and it shall be opened unto you. We're not kicking in the door of heaven.
Right.
Amen. I know the Bible talks about taking the kingdom being taken by force. And understand, I think some of the things there, and there's a teaching there, but this is not part of that. But we're living in a day when there are men and women that believe that they've got the upper hand on God. That somehow that prayer gives us the ability to make God our servant. That's never going to happen, friend. It never has, and it never will happen. Amen. So He says, knock. Knock on the door of heaven. I believe, rather than kicking the door in, I believe it is politely knocking at the door. Amen. Respectfully knocking at the door. The word translated knock in our King James Bible is Strong's number 2925, and it means to rap. Not talking about music, by the way. Not rap music. That's a whole different thing. But this is talking about to rap on the door. And when I think about rapping as far as this kind of knocking, it's rapid. It's not just a slow, drawn out, almost careless. No, it is an urgency involved in this, but there is a politeness as well involved in it. John Butler points out, as I mentioned about these other words, the word ask. There's two Greek words for ask. I talked about this morning. One, you're asking somebody who is your equal, and the other, you're asking someone who is your superior. When our Lord talked about His prayer life, He always used the word of equal because He's equal with God. But when He talked about our prayer life, He talks about asking in the superior realm that we're asking the one that is above us. Amen. Well, the same is true with the word knock. There's two Greek words, according to John Butler, that are translated knock in the New Testament. And these two words, one means to knock unceremoniously with pounding, and the other means to knock politely. Amen. And so I believe that we can see this word is the word that is to knock politely at God's door. It's not as if God's withholding from us what is rightfully ours. No, it's that we come to God not deserving the least of His favors. And yet asking, pleading, seeking, amen, knocking that we might receive His favors. Amen. And so I believe we see in these instructions how to approach the throne of grace, how to do that correctly. Although our urgency may cause us to move with fervency, yet our reverence of our Heavenly Father should cause us to approach respectfully. Amen. Amen. That deletes this crowd that attempts to command God. I remember there was a program came on the radio when I was working in the glass factory at Gardner Mirror, and we'd go in early. Sometimes the way they would do it, if you had to work overtime, you might stay an hour late. But if it went to 10 hours, you came in an hour early, and then stayed an hour late. And so coming in early, I'd hear this program on, and it was from up in New York, and this man would be praying, and in his prayer, it was the strangest thing. He'd start, first of all, he'd be talking to God, and then all of a sudden he'd be talking to the devil in his prayer. And he'd be rebuking Satan. Satan, I rebuke thee, get behind me. And then he'd start commanding God. I always thought that fella's on, first of all, he's in some strange ground if he's talking to the devil and the Lord at the same time. And then he's confused if he thinks he's in the command position.
Right. Right.
Amen. It's almost, just to be honest with you, it's almost as bad. I hadn't seen it here. If you've got one, I have. But notice that I'm not peeking at you. These bumper stickers that says, Christ is my co-pilot. Or God is my co-pilot. Yeah, when I need Him, I'll call on Him. He can take over. No, that's not the idea. He is not co-piloting anybody's ship or anybody's plane. Amen. He is the pilot. He is in command. He is Lord of all. Amen. He is Lord of all. And so this idea about commanding God or bossing God around is foreign to the Scriptures. When we approach Him, we approach Him reverently. Amen. He is our loving Heavenly Father. But He yet is still God. And He will not be bossed by anyone. Matter of fact, I just ask you, you won't be bossed by your children.
Right.
Amen. I've known men get up in their sunlight years. So how is that? Sunset years, thank you. Get up in their sunset years and their son thinks, now I can boss Dad. And this Dad will let them know pretty quick, I'm still your dad. Amen. Yeah, that's right. Exactly. Use my cane on you if I have to. Amen. But the idea there is that the dad is not used to taking orders from the son and probably not interested in taking orders from the son. Our God is much bigger than that. Amen. He's much better than that. And so we come to Him. We must approach Him respectfully. He's not going to allow us to treat Him disrespectfully. Amen. So we knock in a polite manner. Amen. Then number five, when we pray, we must pray persistently. Persistently. Ask, seek, and knock. You know, and we've mentioned these in times past, other messages, that these words are in present tense, but they're in the present perfect tense, which means they happen now and they continue happening. It's as if our Lord said, ask and keep on asking. Seek and keep on seeking. Knock and keep on knocking. Amen. It's a continual thing that we are told to ask and then to keep at it. Amen. And we're told to continue on. Matter of fact, there's several scriptures that do the same thing. I'm not going to have you turn. I'll just read them to you. In Luke chapter number 18, verse number 1. And He spake a parable unto them after to this end, that men ought always to pray and not to faint. Amen. Don't give up on your praying. Ask and keep on asking. That's the idea. Men ought to always pray. Not just pray at all times, but keep on praying is the idea there. Ephesians 6:18, ending up, wrapping up about the whole armor of God. He said, praying always with all prayer and supplication in the Spirit, and watching thereunto with all perseverance and supplication for all saints. So we're to pray always. Amen. And then 1 Thessalonians chapter number 5, verse 17 simply says, pray without ceasing. So the idea, the teaching of our Lord is when we pray, we're to pray persistently. I may have said this the other day. I know I thought it if I didn't say it, that when you knock on a door, I don't think I've ever been with somebody knocking on doors that when they go up to knock, they do this. That's not a knock. That's just a hit. A knock is a continuation, right? It is a persistent thing. Matter of fact, when you knock, and wherever maybe you've got a 3 knock or a 4, what, you know, you get in your mind, and some people have a tune almost they play with knocking on the door. You've heard people do that. And they come up and knock on the door, and whatever that pattern is that they have. They wait a moment, and if nobody comes, they repeat that pattern. And maybe repeat it a couple of times, especially if they think somebody's in there just not coming to the door. And so that's the case of our praying, is to be a persistent manner. Amen. Repeatedly seeking after those things that we've not had answered yet, I believe is the idea there. Amen. I believe, I talked about praying in faith and how that this knocking on the door, I believe, shows faith more than any other, because the door is closed and yet you knock. I believe it shows faith. But persistence shows faith too. Amen. If you don't keep at it, then the chances are you don't believe you could ever get it answered. Amen. But if you do keep at it, you've got an idea that you might have it answered. David Martin Lloyd Jones said it this way. He said, quote, "If we really want to be men of God, if we really want to know Him and walk with Him and experience those boundless blessings which He has offered us, we must persist in asking Him for them day by day." Amen. Amen. Lord Jones said, if we're going to get what He's offering us, we're going to have to be persistent in it. There's examples all through the Bible, but here's a great example of Jacob wrestling with the angel of the Lord. Amen. Jacob wrestled with the angel of the Lord, and although Jacob was hurt, although the angel was in a hurry, Jacob said, "I am not going to let you go until you bless me." Amen. He was intent on obtaining that blessing. And when we pray, we shouldn't give up too easily. Amen. We must pray reverently, but we must pray persistently as well. Number six, I believe we must pray appropriately. Amen. Now, look down at verses 9 and 10. We've dealt with verse 7, really verse 8 just repeats verse 7 and gives you the assurance. Let me read 7 and 8 together and then we'll move to 9 and 10. Verse 7 says, "Ask and it shall be given you. Seek and ye shall find. Knock and it shall be opened unto you." Verse 8, "For everyone that asketh receiveth." So he said, I promised it, here's the answer. I promised it, here's the answer. "For everyone that asketh receiveth, he that seeketh findeth, and to him that knocketh it shall be opened." Now, verse number 9, here's where I believe comes in the praying appropriately. "For what man is there of you whom if his son ask bread, will he give him a stone? Or if he ask a fish, will he give him a serpent?" Amen. Now, these verses 9 and 10, speak about a correct answer. There's an appropriate answer to our prayer. You ask for bread, He's not going to give you a stone. You ask for a fish, He's not going to give you a serpent. He's not going to deceive you. He's not going to play bait and switch on you. Amen. He's going to give you what you ask for. So if there's going to be a correct answer to the question, then it appears to me that there's a correct question. There's a correct question to ask for. And so, I say this because I believe it could be dangerous. I said there's a crowd that goes on believing that they can command God. There's a danger of us taking the Scriptures, the very promises of God that are so wonderful, and yet we pervert them in our carnal way of thinking, that we totally upset the plan of God and the program of God in this thing about prayer. And this is one of those things. Don't imagine that there's no inappropriate way to approach God. Don't imagine that this means you can just barge in on God, or you can just, you know, that you've got God at your disposal. Amen. God's not like a spare tire that you just keep in the back of the car until you need Him, and then when you need Him, you go get Him, and there He is. That's how a lot of people treat God. Amen. A lot of people treat God like an umbrella. They don't care much about Him when the sun's shining, but when it starts raining, they want Him near.
Right.
Amen. God's not willing to act that way. There are inappropriate ways in which to approach God, and there are inappropriate things to ask for. Amen. There are some that misappropriate and pervert these promises of prayer to attempt to believe or say that God gives them a blank check or an open checkbook, that they can have anything and everything they want. And I've heard people go off in extreme asking for worldly things. James said it right. I read what he said in James 1:7. I read it again tonight. James 4:3. He said, ye ask and receive not because you ask amiss.
Right, right.
Amen. You ask amiss. That means you didn't hit the mark. You ask amiss. Why? How'd you do that? That you may consume it upon your own lusts. Amen. For example, some could say, Lord, I wish I had a nicer car than my neighbor does. Lord, I wish that I had something that I could really show off and make other people jealous of me. God's not going to answer that kind of praying. There's some foolish praying going on. Matter of fact, I'll say some things about that. I do believe that the power of prayer is limitless. Because prayer is to our infinite God. God has all power. Amen. He has all ability. Prayer, when we say there's power in prayer, the power is the power of God. Amen. And yet, prayer does have its limitations. There's some things God's not going to give us. The illustration that Christ gave in this Sermon on the Mount, there's a very, I believe, important stipulation regarding the right things for which we are to ask. When He gave us the illustration of prayer, what is known to many as the Lord's Prayer, what did He ask for? Give us this day our fortune. Give us this day our open bank vault. Give us this day our gold mine. No, He said, give us this day our daily bread. Necessities, not luxuries. When He's talking here in verse number 9 about a son asking a father for something, and the father's going to give the right thing, apparently the son asked for the right thing. He asked for bread. Amen. He asked for bread. And he asked for fish. Brother Ricky, that means it's not a sin to ask God for fish. Amen. Lord, let this one bite. Well, Lord, let me get this one. No, I'm kidding. You know, I'm not. But he does. Bread and fish are, in that case, are necessities, and they're nutritious. They're helpful. They're wholesome to us. There are some things you could ask for that wouldn't be for your good. Amen. And I'm afraid a lot of times, that's what people ask for. And they ask amiss because they want to consume it upon their own lust. Amen. These representative statements, our Lord, the fish and the bread are necessities of life, not luxuries. They are bare necessities, not extravagant treasures. Amen. Amen. And these two requests, bread and fish, as I said, they're nutritious, they're wholesome requests. They're not equivalent to cookies and candy. Amen. They're something that actually are useful for God's people. Amen. I believe that we can expect our prayer to be heard and answered only when we ask or pray for those things which are good, not when we pray for those things that are evil. Amen. Those things that are would be hurtful. You've heard it said, and maybe have done it, that in truth, you'd have to thank God that He didn't answer some prayers because some of the things you asked for would not have been for our good.
That's right.
Amen. Sometimes, talking about good and evil, sometimes it's hard for us to discern which is which, especially when we find ourselves in need. And so, if we just ask Him for our bare necessities, amen, He may very well bless that and He'll do a good job of doing it. Amen. We can expect for God to hear and answer our prayers when we ask for that which is needed rather than we ask for that which is not needed. Amen. Which is just extra above and beyond. Now, I do know the Bible says, delight thyself also in the Lord and He shall give thee the desires of thy heart. Amen. There are many days, you'll have to admit, many days God gives you exceeding abundantly above all that you ever asked or thought. Maybe you just asked for bread and God gave you cake. Or maybe He gave you steak. Amen. Amen. Sometimes He goes beyond. But even when He just gives the bare necessities, we can thank God that He has answered our prayer correctly and rightly. Amen. We have to pray in the right way, correctly as well. Amen. Well, there are some people that take these promises concerning God giving things in response to prayer. They try to apply them, as I said, in a carnal way, in an attempt to get rich. They attempt to pray that they might be successful, that they might be popular among men. Lord, let me be the head cheerleader on the ball team this time. No, God ain't interested in that. Amen. Personally, I think and you can disagree with me if you want to, but I don't believe in Scripture disagree. But I don't see that it's right in the Bible. For example, for these race car drivers to pray that they'll be first to cross the checkered flag. And when they get out there, I want to thank God and Budweiser for letting me win this race. Can you believe people do? They will. We talked about that they do such stupidity. But don't you think the fellow that was driving the other car was praying too? But do you think God cares who wins a race? No. God's not interested in who. Matter of fact, if he's looking across that racetrack on Sunday morning, he's looking to see where all his children aren't supposed to be in his house. And they laid out to go to the race. Amen right there. Amen. He's not interested in who wins the race. Here's where I was going with that, what I said about James. James 1:7 said, let not that man think he shall receive anything from the Lord.
Right.
When you're praying about foolish things, amen. Amen. They're treating God like a four-leaf clover.
Right.
Amen. They reach in their pocket, they pull out that four-leaf clover, or they open their Bible or their favorite book, and they got that. And by the way, listen, if you like four-leaf clovers, that's all right. But if you think it's bringing you quote-unquote luck, you're crazy. Amen. Or what about a lucky rabbit's foot? Brother Mays Jackson said it didn't help the rabbit none. He had four of them. Amen. But that's how they treat God. Amen. They treat God like he's a genie in a bottle. If they just rub that bottle enough, he'll get everything they want. God's not that. That's not the idea when he says, ask and he shall receive. Seek and he shall find. Knock and it shall be opened unto you. That's not the idea that he's given. He's given us the principle here that when we ask, we've got to ask correctly. Not to consume it upon our own lust. Amen. Can I say to you that all these characteristics are important? I'm at the last one. I'm going to give you the last one. I'll be done. I believe this last one is the most important one. And I say it this way, because I've used the L-Y or E-L-Y at the end of all these, earnestly, persistently, and correctly. We must pray relatively. One thing that I notice in verse number 9 and 10 and 11 is that the thing that connects the man that's answering the prayer to the person that's asking the prayer is that they are related. There is a relationship between them. The man that's giving is the father of the son that's asking. Amen. I believe it's so very important. Now here's, I noticed this, I read it, and I don't remember which commentator pointed out this part. When you read Matthew 7, verse 7 and 8, ask and it shall be given unto you, seek and ye shall find, knock and it shall be opened unto you. Who do you ask? It don't tell you who to ask.
Right.
Who do you seek? Whose door you knock? Verse 8, for everyone that asketh receiveth, he that seeketh findeth, him that knocketh it shall be opened. Who is he asking? Who's given to them that ask? Who's helping find that they're seeking for? Who opens the door to the one that's knocking? It does not tell us who. I believe Christ assumed we'd know who. Amen. And he's already pointed up before that when we pray, you start out, your prayer must start correctly. Our Father, which art in heaven. But here he comes to this illustration and he tells us this most important point is that you've got to know you're a son and he's the Father. Therefore, you've got access to ask. Amen. Amen. He says, it's a son that asks for bread. It's a son that asks for fish. Then he speaks of the generosity of the given aspect in verse number 11 of your Father which is in heaven. I like that phrase. Amen. Here it seems, I believe, emphatically to imply that you must be a son to expect to have any influence in prayer to the Father. Amen. I know the Pharisees said that we know that God heareth not sinners. That's what the Pharisees said to the Lord. And I've heard men take that and use that as if it were entirely true. I also know that Cornelius prayed and gave alms, and when the angel appeared to him and told him to go get Peter, he said, God's heard your prayers. Cornelius wasn't saved yet. Apparently he's a sinner. Yet he's trying to find God. He's searching for God, and God sends him light. Amen. Sends him a preacher, by the way. Amen. And the preacher preaches to him, and God moves. The Holy Ghost moves, and they got saved by the grace of God. Amen. But my point is this. I know people say, well, I pray every day, but are you on speaking terms with him? Are you a relative of his? Amen. If you're a father, you are not responsible to feed and clothe every child that's born into this world.
Right.
Unless it's your child. And that's right, isn't it? I mean, thank God for benevolence. Thank God for people that are interested in helping. But you're not responsible for every child in the room or every child in the world. You're responsible for yours. Amen. And this thing about prayer, when we come to God, thank God we have access, and He is responsible to us in that sense, responsible over us, because He's a good parent and He's our parent, thank God. Amen. And so we have an opportunity to pray relatively. I say it this way, prayer is a family matter. I believe that's right. It's a family matter. While God is good to all people, let it rain on the just and the unjust. Let the sun shine on the just and the unjust. Yet He has not obligated Himself to work like a genie in the bottle for everybody that rubs the bottle. Amen. He's obligated to His children. Amen. He has obligated Himself to His children. The tie that binds this man in verse 9 and 10 to the young man asking, the tie that binds them is the fact that they are related, that he is a son, that child is the son. And I believe that's the inference, that relationship is important to us, that we know God as our Father. He's the Almighty God, and we're one of His sons. Praise God. Amen. He's the King on the throne, and we're one of His sons. Praise God. I talked this morning and really last Sunday as well about the dangers in this world we're living in. Being between a rock and a hard place. This morning I was dealing with that between Scylla and Charybdis. It's like threading the needle. It's like walking the tightrope. Dangers all around. Amen. I've heard men give illustrations about, being nervous and different things, and they'll use illustrations. And I heard a man give this illustration about walking circumspectly. He said, walking circumspectly, that means looking all around you, circum dealing with around and speck of the sea and being careful of the things that surround you. But the idea of a Christian walking circumspectly in this world, he said it's like a tomcat walking across a picket fence with a bulldog on each side. Amen. A good bulldog, by the way. But if that cat come his way, he ain't going back up on the fence. Amen. Amen. And the dangers that we're facing, this is my point, the dangers that we're facing, we got trouble here, we got trouble there, and it's so delicate the road we're walking. But on this delicate road that we're walking, we've got access to heaven, and the God that owns it all, and the God that's over it all, and the God that controls it all is our Father, praise God. We have access to Him. We can pray relatively. He's our relative. Amen. He's the sovereign ruler of all the earth. Amen. Now, I believe that our world, the world may very well give you stones when you're looking for bread. The world may very well try to slip you serpents when you're looking for fish. By the way, that's exactly what the devil does. It's a bait and switch thing all along. Amen. That first temptation, when the devil tempted Eve, he said he laid it out as if you take of this fruit, it's going to better you. It's going to better you because then you'll know good and evil. I've said it before and I believe it's right. She already knew good because she knew God. But she didn't know evil. By the way, when people lose their innocence, it's because they learn evil that they didn't know before. They become acquainted with evil that they didn't know before. And by the way, that is not a betterment.
Amen.
It doesn't better you. The devil offered, he said, this will be bread, boy, but all, it winds up being a stone. Amen. He says, this will be fish. You'll enjoy this fish, and it winds up being a serpent. That's what the world will do, but our God doesn't do that way. He doesn't switch on us. He gives us what we need. Amen. Because He's our Father, praise God. Amen. Amen. He'll give us good and wholesome things in our time of need. Amen. Not only does this relationship give us access to the throne of grace, I believe it gives us the proper perspective of it. It gives us the proper perspective of God in prayer. For example, if we only look at God, as I said, He's the sovereign God of all the universe. If that's how we look at Him only. If we only look at God as the great judge that's going to judge on judgment day, then we might be hesitant to approach His throne. We might be a little nervous to come before Him knowing that we're needy people. But when we recognize that great sovereign and that great judge is our Father, we have the right perspective. I can trust Him with my troubles. Amen. I can tell Him my problems. Amen. I can approach the throne of grace even in my own sinfulness because it is a throne of grace. It's not the throne of judgment. Amen. We realize it is our loving Heavenly Father that sits on the throne. Amen. And then we see it is the throne of grace and we're not afraid to approach unto it. But not only does this relationship and recognition of the relationship of the Father and the Son give us proper perspective of God, but it gives us proper perspective of ourselves too. We're a child. You know what a child is? A child is a dependent.
Right.
Amen. We're headed towards tax time. Not trying to make you sad, but we are. Something's already, but we're coming to the deadline before too much longer. And the law allows you to count those in your house as dependents. We come to God, that's how we come to God. We got to recognize that's what I am. I'm not a general in God's army. I'm a dependent in His family is what I am. I'm not some kind of big shot in God's kingdom. No, I'm a dependent child of my Heavenly Father. That's what I am. We got to recognize ourselves as a dependent child needing constant assistance. We got to recognize ourselves as an ignorant child. And this is not a slam on you young people, but you don't know everything. If you think you do, it shows how little you know. Really. You don't know everything. And I'm not to say that your dad knows everything or that your mother knows everything, but they know more than you. Amen. Maybe in some areas they don't, but overall they've got more life experience. Therefore, they got more knowledge, more information. Amen. They don't remember where they put it, perhaps, but they got it. Amen. We need to approach God that way. God, I don't know everything. I'm an ignorant child. I need instruction. I need some direction in this thing. Amen. We're a dependent child. We're an ignorant child. We've got to recognize ourselves as sinful children. We mess up. On our best day, sometimes we mess up. And we have to approach God saying, Father, I'm in need again. I've made a mistake. I've messed up. Amen. I wrote it this way. Prayer works best when we assume the position of a child to His Father. When we allow ourselves to weep as a child, to beg as a child, and to trust as a child.
Amen.
That's when prayer works at its best. Amen. Amen. We approach our God as the supreme God, but also as our loving, generous Father. Amen. Amen. I'm going to conclude with this statement. Charles Spurgeon had a great way with words. He just had such a way with words. This is one of the stories he told. I'm going to read you this story and I'm going to quit. He said, a king is sitting with his council deliberating on high affairs of state involving the destiny of nations when suddenly he hears the sorrowful cry of his little child who has fallen or has been frightened by a wasp. He rises from his throne and runs to his child's relief, assuages his sorrows and relieves his fears. Is there anything unkingly here? Is it not most natural? Does it not even elevate the monarch in your esteem? Why do we think it dishonorable for the King of Kings, our Heavenly Father, to consider the small matters of His own children? It is infinitely, infinitely condescending, but it is not too superlatively natural, being that He's a Father, that He should act as such. Amen. He said we can't understand it. It goes beyond our understanding. But when He coaches it in these words, we can grasp it a little better. It's like a father to his son. Our Lord the psalmist talks about as a father pitieth, as the eye of a father pitieth his children. That's how God looks upon His children. Amen. I'm glad we have this access of prayer. Let's stand to our feet as they come with a song. The Lord spoke to you. We'll give you opportunity to respond, whatever the Lord says. And I wonder this evening, again, I've just repeated, rehearsed, added on about the great opportunity we have of prayer. I want to be persistent. I want to pray correctly. I want to pray respectfully. I want to ask for the right things, the necessary things, the nutritious things. I want to talk to God as a relative, as my Father, not just some far-off deity that I know very little about. He's my Father. Father, thank You for the privilege to pray. Thank You for the privilege to carry our burdens to Thee. Father, I pray that You'd help us now as we've studied these things to be encouraged to do that, to be encouraged to take our troubles to Jesus, to tell You all about it. Father, help us to approach the throne correctly. For Thy name's sake, we ask it in Jesus' name. Amen. We're going to sing. If the Lord spoke to you, you need to come. You obey the Lord and do what He says while we sing.
160.
You obey the Lord, whatever He says to do.